glad you're here today. We welcome you. Welcome to this time of worship. One of the privileges that we have is to baptize. The word baptize means put under. We follow Jesus' example when we're baptized. Today we're going to baptize 9 people. And each of them, it's a testimony of their life. We're baptized because Jesus commanded us to be baptized. That'd be enough. We're also baptized because Jesus showed us by example that we're to be baptized. So we follow him in baptism. We're baptized also because it shows the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And you'll see that in each of these individuals as they're standing here, representing the death on the cross. We lay them in the water and then raise them up. Resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And finally, they will be baptized to show a testimony of their own faith that each one of them has indeed received Jesus into his or her life. Today, you're not here to watch them. They're not joining the Kiwanis Club, the local library to get a library card or anything like that. Today, one thing is in your mind. As you see them baptized, you're going to think that person has invited Jesus into their life. This is a public confession of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you today. Thank you for salvation in Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and that we have heaven as our eternal home. I ask you your blessing of growth upon each one of these that will be baptized today. Lord, grow them in their faith. Lord, today, may this testimony ring out to many, many others. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon their lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul Motion wrote, my first cousin from Mississippi, but now living in Tennessee, is our first candidate. Paul is kind of a short fellow. Paul received the Lord into his life some time ago, and he called me several months ago. He said, I want you to baptize me. He and my aunt, Dad's older sister, just by a little bit, and Paul's sister are going to be baptized today. They've driven a long way to be here to go into these baptismal waters. Paul, if indeed Jesus has come into your life, would you just say out loud, Jesus is Lord of my life.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Amen. Paul, my brother and my first cousin, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And now my Aunt Helen Reynolds Motion Road.
Gosh,
She played with me. She was the fun aunt. She tried to, she helped teach me to skip. She never quite taught me to dance, though. She's a great dancer. And she's dancing for the Lord today. Aunt Helen, if Jesus has come into your life, would you just say out loud, Jesus is Lord of my life?
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Amen. Step right over here. Right over here. There we go. All right. Right here. One more step. Okay. Now, take your hand right there and hold your wrist.
Oh.
Hold your wrist and then hold your nose. All right. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Come on, Paul. Help her. I love you too. Besides the IRS, she's one of the only few people that still calls me Michael, my given name. Come on, Loretta. This beautiful young lady is Loretta Motion Rose Scott, Paul's sister and Helen's daughter. And she's come a long way to be here today. It's a great joy. We're going to baptize her. Loretta, if indeed Jesus has come into your life, would you just say out loud, Jesus is Lord of my life?
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Amen. Sit right over here. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. I love you, baby. And now, Jaime Barnes, otherwise known as James, has several people he's going to baptize today.
That is one. Well, I'm going to be baptizing Chelsea first. I've embarrassed her a couple times already. We've only known each other about 2 weeks now, but she gave her life to Christ right there last Sunday. Chelsea, who is Lord of your life?
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Say it one more time, loud.
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Chelsea, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is my son, and he gave his life to Christ last week on Victory Drive as we were riding down the road. And it was at that moment he went from being my son to being my brother. Stuart, who's Lord of your life?
Jesus.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And I get the privilege of pulling up the rear. But it's a good one. We're going to have a family come. We're going to have a mother and three sons. We have Cheryl Sly. Cheryl, come right here. Sean Petey. Matthew Sly. And Austin Sly. You guys, you go back to the step. You go back to the step. Sean, you come right here. Stand right here beside you guys, okay? And Cheryl, come right here. Cheryl? You're good. Yes, we'll turn and we'll let Dusty help you out, okay? You hold your hand like this. Put your hand up. Cheryl, because of your faith in Jesus, I want you to testify. Is Jesus the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Say, Jesus is
Lord. Jesus is the Lord of my life.
because of that profession. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sean, is Jesus the Lord of your life?
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
All right, brother. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Matthew, come here, brother. Matthew, is Jesus the Lord of your life?
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Come here, Austin.
Oh, yeah?
Is Jesus the Lord of your life?
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of Jesus.
Hey, all right.
We have fun doing this, if you can't tell. You be praying about people you know, that they might come to Christ and we could do this again. We're done.
You know, I think we can do better than that. Let's give God another round of hand. Come on now. You are given the obligatory clapping when, like, you're somewhere like you really don't want to be. And I would hope this isn't the kind of clapping that's going to go on in heaven. I mean, come on. That was an act of worship. We worship in a lot of different ways, and that was one act of worship. But you know, another way to worship God for all of us on a daily basis is to use the gifts, the talents, and the resources that God has given us, placed in our hands, to use those back for His glory and honor. And this week, one person in our congregation was honored by the local news agency, one of the local news agencies, using their gifts and their talents and their resources for the glory of God, although the news agency didn't do that. But we're going to show you a video clip of someone who was honored this week using who God created them to be for His glory and His honor by investing in other people's lives. So, John, hit it.
A good mentor can help in the development of well-rounded children.
Brandy Cummings introduces a Savannah grandmother who is making a difference for elementary children. So much so, she's a WTOC hometown hero.
Her nurturing spirit is what makes her such a special part of the Jacob T. Smith Elementary School family.
She's kind, she's dependable, she loves children, she really has a heart for academics. So she was just the perfect pick.
Arnie Spear, Miss Arnie as she's called, is an 81-year-old grandmother that spends one day a week mentoring.
Usually it's children who just need a little extra time one-on-one, who need somebody to love them, somebody to be interested in them.
6 years ago, Miss Arnie started working with the little ones. It started after her church used the school gym as a meeting place.
We do puzzles, we do games. They love card games. I got started in it and I enjoy it, and I love children.
Although she's had no formal teaching training, Miss Arnie is a natural. She says there are benefits for everyone involved.
And this helps me as much as it helps the children, really. It gets me up out of the house and gets me in with other people.
In mentoring, it's not so much what you do with the child is who you are.
Miss Arnie is this week's hometown hero. In Savannah, Brandy Cummings, WTOC News.
Great lady, great school, Jacob G. Smith. Wonderful school. Want to check in with Dawn Baker to see what they're working on for the news at 11.
Miss Arnie, were you sufficiently embarrassed? We praise God for your faithfulness. What she said was, I was the one that got her started. I just told her about it, and she was obedient to what God put on her heart. And I've actually had the pleasure of going by there and see her with these small children, and it is a blessing to watch her with them. So just praise God for her act of worship. That is an act of worship, investing in other people. So we praise God for that. It's good to have Connor Christopher Edwards with us this morning. He's already ready for Dusty's sermon. He's asleep. He's ready for it. It's good to have. And for any of our ladies that either you'd like to be pregnant with child, then you need to see this row of ladies over here, because we have three expecting young mothers sitting right there at various stages. And if you don't want to be expecting, then I'd avoid them and not get near them, okay? But we do. Stacy and Meredith and Stuart's wife, Carrie. So anyway, that's kind of cool, sitting on the same row there. We are glad you're with us this morning. A couple of quick announcements. One, men's lunch this week is going to be at Sticky Fingers on Abercorn, Wednesday at noon. The other announcement I'll make is the ladies' timeout for March. It's not in the bulletin. It's going to be called Tea Time. You're not going to be going golfing. Not going to be golfing lessons. Okay, it's tea time, and that's going to be the ladies' timeout theme. And if you want more information about it, I'll have it in the bulletin next week, or you can see Pam or Audrey about it, or Debbie McConnell about it. But anyway, that's the ladies' timeout theme for March, so you can be making plans to be there. I know the ladies had a great time out at the Jesus Loves You banquet, okay? All of our visitors and guests, we are glad you're here. We're thankful you're with us today. Enjoy this time together. Our cards and envelopes are in the bulletins. Our cards are there for communicating prayer requests and information. If you put your email address on there, we actually have a Monday through Friday daily devotional that we send out, so you're welcome to receive that each week. But we're going to collect those at the end, and I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to stand and greet one another this morning, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. God, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus, because isn't that what we're here for, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and honor our God and Heavenly Father? Lord, it is good to know we serve the living. Lord, we do not serve the dead. And God, because of that, we are alive. We are alive in Christ this morning. Praise be to God. Amen. Stand and greet one another this morning.
Who would have thought, I'm not going to say how many years ago, it's a long time. Well, I'm 57, so I was a little kid. 59th Street, Savannah, Georgia. That one day, I'd be baptizing my aunt. And what a blessing. She introduced me to a new kind of meat when I was 6 years old. My uncle was a career man, Navy. He got out, he was lieutenant commander, went in at the age of 17, served his country all those years. But they were living in Norfolk. And my grandmother, Dad's, and Aunt Helen's mom, Agnes, she and I took a train, the only time I've ever ridden a train, to Norfolk, and stayed there for several weeks. And Aunt Helen prepared this, got to go somewhere, Daniel? Okay. Everybody wave to Daniel. Bye, Daniel. He's in a hurry, too. He's back now. He had to get a bulletin. Hard to go through worship without a bulletin. No. Don't feel too bad. He'll get me back. Don't worry about that. Oh, he gave it to somebody else. I need to feel bad now, right? Shamey. Cool breeze, that's right. But one evening, we sit down to dinner, and she has this delectable treat. I've never tasted meat like this in my life. It was sweet. It was easy to separate with your fork. And I thought, my mom and my grandma back in Savannah had been holding out on me all these years. And this is a new kind of meat. And she called it sweet meat. Put it in the oven. And I think I was probably about 25, 30 years old before I found out what it was. It was Spam. with plenty of sugar on it. And here's a testimony to all you parents, you know, wanting your kids to eat things. If you slather it with sugar, they'll eat anything. They'll eat it. We're glad you're here today. Baptism, especially seeing those boys in there, reminded me of when I baptized three girls one time. And I had never done that, never gotten a bunch of people in the baptistry at the same time. Had them all in there. Baptized one, put her over here. Baptized a second one. I go to put her over there, and that one's missing. I couldn't find her. Now, everybody out here, they just think you're baptizing the second one. They didn't know what was going through my mind, so I went and baptized the second one. And about the time I got that one under, and I'm looking down, I feel something underwater right by the hairs on the back of my leg. She was swimming. And she surfaced on the other side and just like a whale on the other side. It reminded me always to have two people watching kids when you have them in the baptistry. You never know. What a blessing this has been. It hasn't been a great joy today to be a part of this. I want to read this passage to you, make a couple of comments, and open the altar today. If you have your Bible, it's in the third chapter of Matthew. And it's the baptism of Jesus. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. In fact, we're going to read the whole chapter, but just so you can see what's happening. Verse 1. Now in those days, John the Baptizer came. He was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent." Just turn around, do a 180. "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Here's John the Baptist fulfilling, like Elijah, preparing the way of the Lord. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. You got a picture? Think he stood out? See, his outward exterior actually showed what was inside. Just like in a few moments, he's going to baptize Jesus, which would show something on the outside, which indicated something on the inside. Follow me? Verse 5. "Then Jerusalem was going out to him." What that means is they were running the tram and the buses out there regularly. Come see the sight. Come look at what is happening. He had them all stirred up. "And all the district that was around Jordan was coming out. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins." Confession means you come in agreement. Hey, Katie. So good to see y'all here today. Y'all make sure you see that bundle of joy. They were confessing their sins. That means they were coming into agreement. They were calling sin what God calls it. That's what confession means. It means you agree with God. Listen to me. Nobody ever gets saved, comes to know the Lord, that wasn't lost. You got to be lost before you can be found. If you still think that you're finding yourself, if you still think, "Oh, I can do it my own power," then you're still lost. Because it's all about Him, totally relying on Him. You know, like, He's not 99.9% our Savior. He is 100%. But when he saw, verse 7, many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming out for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You see, in an event like this, these guys kind of had this mild hatred for one another. Pharisees with a narrow-eyed, you know, eyes too close together, kind of beady-eyed legalists, keepers of the law and all that. And Sadducees were the liberals. They were, in fact, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Sadducees were the much bigger party. It was like two religious political parties. And an event like this got everybody's attention. Isn't that interesting? That when God works, it doesn't matter whose political group you're in. He's going to come and speak His message. And by the way, another sermon for another day. But Jesus, His most, I hate to say judgmental, His strongest words were always for religious, quote, religious people. Verse 8, "Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, you say, if you're going to come out here and be a part of this, then let it be a change in your life and let there be fruit from your life. Which is, you know, we proclaim Christ, we say Jesus is Lord, then there should be fruit in our lives. "And do not suppose that you say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. But I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham." In other words, it's not in your physical lineage. It's not in your religion. It is in a personal relationship with God. It's going back to Moses there out in the wilderness and in the burning bush, and he meets God. It's a personal relationship with Him. "The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water of repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I." Here's John the Baptizer, the one who's preparing the way for the Lord. And the Lord is already in the crowd there. He's hearing him speak these things. He said, "I'm the one that's preparing the way. He who's coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not even fit to remove his sandals. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He'll immerse you in himself. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will thoroughly clear his threshing floor and he'll gather his wheat into the barn, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." You see, here is this prophet, this man in the spirit of Elijah, the relative, the cousin of physical cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, 6 months older than Jesus, who is the one preparing the way for him. And he is saying, "Hey, there's no in between. Either you're all in or you're all out. No in between." Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" What's John saying? He recognizes who he is. He's the Son of God. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus answering him said, "Permit it for this time. For in this way is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. What does he mean by that? Here is Jesus paving the way for us. It harks back to the essence of the gospel message, that that even from the foundation of the world, we read in the Revelation, that God, that the Lamb of God was slain, that God was preparing, even before He knew how we were going to choose, that He was preparing a sacrifice for us. Man chose, He chose sin. Sin entered into the world. There was a fall of man, the fall of the world. But God was preparing, He was preparing to send a sacrifice so that now all of history is wrapped around the coming of Jesus. All history that went before is looking forward to His coming and then His coming again. And we live sandwiched in between the two comings of Jesus. But here is Jesus fulfilling this, that He would come and be the Lamb of God. He would step into flesh. The Scripture says He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He had not sinned one time. He went to the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. He hung on the cross for the sin of the entire world. Past, present, future, all sin upon Him. That's why He said as He hung there, He said to the Father, He said to Yahweh, my God, why have You forsaken Me? As He turned His back on Him, He became sin for the world, all sin upon Him. So all of our sin came upon Jesus, and He died. He shed His blood. Scripture says, apart from the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. Well, someone had to be the sacrifice. Someone had to come and stand in between. The whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament was based on a picture of looking forward to. They were looking forward to those lambs that would come in and were slain. Every time they did that, it was a picture of the Lamb of God who would be slain once and for all. In the book of Hebrews, I believe Apollos wrote it, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He writes there, he says, in these last days He has spoken unto us by His Son. Many prophets that went before, those who went before, but in these last days He came and He spoke the gospel message, the free, the easy to understand gospel message. The gospel message that was preached 9 times to you just a moment ago. 9 times you saw it, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Over and over and over and over and over again. And it has never lost its power, nor will it. Because there's power in the blood of Christ. In this, He fulfilled all righteousness as He stepped into flesh and He showed what it looks like for perfection. He never sinned. He fulfilled baptism, showing to us, giving to us the example that we would follow Him in everything. He is the first fruits of those who slept. He is the second Adam. Adam fell. The second Adam came for our redemption, to buy us back. Permit it at this time that we may fulfill all righteousness. He permitted Him. He baptized Him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, now wouldn't you like to have been there for this? The heavens opened. Hear what Scripture says. The heavens opened and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. I've seen movie makers try to visualize that and you just can't wrap your mind around it. Because and for those who say there's no triune God, well, they got a problem right here. Because here you have the Son of God who is God in the flesh. You have the Spirit of God descending upon Him. And then let's see what the rest of it as a dove. And then verse 17, and behold, the voice out of the heavens, this is My beloved Son, My agapetos. My agapetos, My beloved one, My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. the voice of the Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right there together. Now, there's a chapter division right there. And there shouldn't be. Chapter divisions are not inspired. When this was written, now often they're accurate, and it does go to a new idea and all that. I get that. But when this was written, there were no verses. There were no chapter division, because the very next thing is, then Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Here's what I want you to get. Here's the takeaway on that. The Spirit led him out there into the wilderness. And we'd see him. He would come, and the devil would test him in three ways. And representative of the world system, the flesh, and the evil one himself. As he'd be tested in those ways. Led by the Spirit. Because the evil one has been allowed to be in this world. There's a battle going on. To all nine of you that were baptized today, when you leave the service, as you go out into the world hadn't changed. It is still controlled by the world, the flesh, the devil, all that you're in. But what has changed? You. The power of God is upon you. And we're to be His light in the world. To be His reflector. To be His ambassador. Right where we are, with our voice, with our actions, small as they may be. Anybody know the name of the guy that led D.L. Moody to the Lord? About Billy Graham. Who was influential in Mother Teresa's life? You know any of those people? Yeah. I ask you those questions because where would we be without those people? Who are being obedient to the Lord. We get all enamored by the lights and all that stuff, you know. Bing, bang, bling, and all that stuff, when God's calling us to be faithful every day. Jesus showed us the way. And He's showing you the way today. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to open the altar. If you want to come, and maybe today you have seen these nine testimonies and you want to put your faith in Jesus today. You can, publicly professing Him. I invite you to come. We're going to have our pastors, some of our life group leaders will be around here to pray with you. If you want to pray, come to the altar. Have a God lead you. If you want someone to pray with you for healing in your life, you have a praise to bring to the Lord, you have an intercession, He's here. He's ready to do business with you. But the most important question today is this. Do you have Jesus in your life? Is He Lord of your life? Really? Because you're betting your life on that statement. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the day. Thank You for speaking to us today. Lord, thank You for Your power that is present here today. We feel You today. Lord, as we open the altar now, I'm asking You to come. I'm asking You to speak. I'm asking You to work. Lord, if there are others here who'd like to, today, that You're pricking their hearts today and they know they need You in their lives, I'm praying right now, I'll ask You to come in. Be their Savior and the Lord. Give You their lives. Lord, we love You. We bless You. The altar's open. Come. Just everybody continue praying. Don't leave anything, because God's working in people's lives. But this beautiful young lady here that we've watched grow up with us, she said, I want to tell the church what happened to me this week.
I just wanted to tell y'all what happened to me. I came home one day from school and I was just so upset. I didn't know what was going on. I felt like Jesus, he wasn't there. I felt like alone. And so my mom, she told me to pray. And so I prayed, and I prayed for him to open my heart. And so, like, immediately after I finished praying, I felt relieved. I was just so happy. And I just wanted to share with y'all, basically. Like, I just wanted to tell y'all who don't have God in your life. Like, you know, once you open your heart, you will feel, like, totally different. You look at the world, and it's just, you see it in a totally different life. And I just wanted to tell y'all that I got Jesus in my heart.
All right, so we're going to be doing some more baptizing, right? That's right. Amen. 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 Mary, you want to say anything?
Well, she was baptized when she was 12, and I thought they were ready. And she said, about a couple of months, she said, Mom, I want to be baptized again. I said, Jessica, you were already baptized. I said, when you want to be rebaptized, just like last week when Pastor Reynolds was talking, and he said, who want to renew their faith? And when he said it first time, he was saying, who want to be, you know, with the Lord, and you raise your hand. And I was saying, I said, well, what about the ones who want to renew? And he said it right after I said it. And it's just like confirmation happening. And what happened the week before, it was with her. And I was telling her all of before, you don't have to be, you're already in the water. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you're already in the water. You can just renew your faith in your heart. Mm-hmm. And he's there listening. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time for her to realize, when you open your heart, he's there. Every cripple, you know, every place in there. If it's a dark place, I ask him to open it, to cleanse that part. And that's what she did.
Amen. Bless God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all be sure and give her a big hug before she gets away today, okay? Bless
you. Thank you. Just wanted to share with you this morning. Come on up. We've got Charlotte Stewart. Charlotte came this morning. She's a friend of Lori Braswell's, and she has asked Jesus into her heart, and she wanted to let you all know this morning. And we're going to talk with her about taking that next step, and she wants to be baptized, so we'll have to do this again soon, won't we?
Amen.
Glory to God.
If you insist. If you insist. Bless you, darling. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Well, make sure you see her and give her a big hug. Priscilla, were you getting all of that I was saying today? Some of that's untranslatable, but some of it. But if you understood Igbo like I do, then you know what I will say. Hi, Chief's not here. All right. Thank you. Thank you, because I would have forgotten. All right. We'll make this announcement, then we'll give you a chance. We want to get those cards from you if you have an offering to bring to the Lord. The Lord's blessed you. And by the way, John and I last week started praying that God would make some of you millionaires. Wait a second, you need to hear the rest of it. Tithing millionaires. you got it? Okay. Tomorrow at Bonaventure Cemetery at noon will be the memorial service for Joshua Lodge, the nephew of David and Cheryl Baldwin. Dave, you know, one of our guitarists. And they've invited all of you to come noon at Bonaventure Cemetery. That's the first one, that series of cemeteries. It's the first one. Go in there and you'll see the arrows. It's what's the funeral home? Yeah, it's Baker's on the west side. What's the name of it? Fairhaven, excuse me. You'll see the Fairhaven arrows. Y'all excuse me, a little Alzheimer's getting me here today. All right. All right. But you're all invited to be a part of that. And bless you. Thank you, Daniel. Also, my old friend, Will Barnes, is here. He came to see his grandson get baptized. I'm going to ask Will if he would to close us in prayer.
Pray with me. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you're always so gracious to us to give to us every gift of life, every blessing beyond our imagination. Today being one of those, as I saw Stuart baptized because he loves you. Thank you for each one who is here today, for those who've given their lives to you and said, I want to walk the way of Jesus. And for those who've not, continue to love them until they too say Jesus is Lord. Thank you for the ministry of this good church. And as each one goes, remind them that they go in the power and the blessing and the glory of your Holy Spirit. And may you have all the glory in your name. Amen.
Baskets at the front and in the back.